Reunited, Bob. Is that your name, by the way? Bob? Bob Pompiani, I think, yes?
Yeah, that is.
My name's Joe Starkey.
I know, but you don't even look like Joe Starkey. The Joe Starkey I knew was a little heavier. Now you're svelte. I have to compliment you on your looks.
Thank you. That was 17 pounds ago, yeah.
I've noticed, and it's little by little, but all of a sudden, 17 pounds later, I commend you on that. That's not easy to do.
Thank you, Bob.
And you're not doing it through any... It's just your own idea of what you need to do to be healthier.
Yes. I mean, miraculously, it comes down to exercising more and eating less.
Mixing a salad, right?
Isn't that amazing?
That's all it is, yeah.
Isn't that an amazing concept?
But it is hard.
Concept. It is
hard.
To
get rid of sweets, to get rid of pasta, get rid of bread, if you like bread out of the oven, all this stuff.
Well, I go with the whole grain bread, Bob. I go with one piece of toast every day.
What about pasta?
Little butter and jelly, little bits of pasta. Okay. That's all. Look at what I have today. Cauliflower pasta. Mm-hmm. With meat sauce. Makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It does.
No sugar drinks, things like that. I was telling you, my doctor said, now imagine limits. I don't even know how to phrase it. That's how stupid I am. How many gallons is a pound? Do gallons even convert to pounds?
I don't think so. Maybe in the British metric system.
What? Bob, do you know how many gallons is a pound?
No. I know is 17 pounds is a lot of pounds, and I would imagine you're trying to envision yourself with that poundage on and what it would look like.
1 gallon is of pure water weighs 8. No, it doesn't. That's ridiculous. All I know is my doctor said, imagine me strapping now 5 gallons of water your back. That's what you were walking around with, basically.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 gallons of water. Every single day, Bob.
Have you noticed other aspects of your life changing?
Yes.
That is more sleep, better sleep.
Many more. I used to be achy all the time because I didn't drink enough water. I was dehydrated. I feel generally better. Sleep is an interesting question. It seems like every time I want to get a great night's sleep, like last night at 9:45, I told Susie, I'm going to bed. She said, not until I get my stuff done. That's one of our problems, Bob. When I start to wind down at the end of the night, I think that's the time to wind down. She's just winding up limits. She's winding up like a toy that you can wind up at 10 p.m. every night, getting ready for the next day with food, with blankets, with everything. Blankets meaning she had to make the bed, she has to make the kids' bed, she has to do laundry. I mean, she gets wound up at 10 when I'm trying to wind down, Bob. And that was only the beginning. Then the dog had diarrhea last night. After I told her, don't let him eat the chicken. The chicken's bad. He ate the chicken. So we're both up all night. Then my daughter is at some bonfire at a friend's house or something with all her friends from high school, isn't getting back to me. So I went down and tried to sleep on the couch because I couldn't handle my wife going crazy at 10 o'clock. And then I'm up till 11:30 because I can't get a hold of my kid. You know that feeling.
Oh, see, at that point, that's when I jump in a car and go try to find.
I said, I'm on my way to her friend's house. I threatened her. I'm on my way. You're not answering my call.
Right. So all it takes is a simple response, and then your father can relax and not worry about you. But if you're not going to do it, I've done this before.
Yeah.
I've gone on a wild goose chase trying to find them.
Right.
Yep.
And so that was me then at 11:30 until she finally got back to me and had all the excuses in the world. So then my heart rate is way up, and then I can't get to sleep. And then when I finally do get to sleep, the dog's crapping its brains out. So I slept for like 4 hours. He had more blowouts than the 07 Patriots.
Bob, you know what it sounds like? Another rough day for our friend with a new nickname.
That's all. You do great. I love you. Just tigger it up.
Thanks, Eeyore.
Eeyore.
Bye.
Eeyore.
This guy calls a radio show. And says, the Steelers haven't had a good offensive line in 33 years and calls me Eeyore?
Eeyore, Bob.
It
we
happened
finally
yesterday,
found his nickname,
Bob.
Eeyore.
It happened yesterday. Maybe I'm Eeyore.
Eeyore.
Yeah, I'm Eeyore.
I would not have come up with that nickname for you.
This guy calls in yesterday and ironically, in an Eeyore-like monotone, tells me that the Steelers under Cowher and Tomlin have never been able to develop offensive linemen and haven't had a good offensive line in, I quote, 33 years. He had that number pegged. And then at the end says he went to some like philosopher summit or something. And they said, we need more Tiggers and less Eeyores out there.
More emotion, more
and
upbeat.
He claimed that I'm an Eeyore because I was negative on the Steelers and that he was a Tigger. which I beg to disagree. Does Eeyore fit, Bob? Are you going to start calling me that?
No, it does not fit. Austin? That doesn't... It's another one. Who threw that out?
That was Ben.
That was Ben.
To Jeff Hathorn one day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing well.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Joe. And
we have to savor these moments that we work together that become few and far between, and I'm out Friday again.
Well, I have my own issues that I'm dealing with that I have to take care of, so that's how this goes until that gets solved.
I know.
So.
And Bob, you'll be in Jacksonville this weekend.
That's right.
And that'll be exciting. Livens is never here either. The more he works here, his vacation schedule is expanding.
He's got a
fast.
Wiffle ball thing going on. He's got a lot of stuff.
He has wiffle ball championships.
See, I think when football season actually starts is when, you know, the consistency will return.
I hope so. His vacation schedule is expanding faster than Malsey's cranium at this point. Are you in this week, the whole week?
I'm off the rest of the week. I'll be at PAC Media Day and Steeler Camp tomorrow. How about that?
It's a big one.
I'm
going to
check out practice tomorrow after Media Day.
As a fan or a reporter?
As a reporter.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll call in Thursday on my drive to Vermont and say, Joe, this is what I saw. This is how Broderick Jones performed. This is what Aaron Rodgers did.
Bob, who do you want Limits to request? Who would you like to hear a one-on-one interview? Limits and who?
Gene Steratore.
Ooh, is he going to be there?
I think he might.
That's a good one, Limits.
I think Steratore has a summit that's going on. He has like some talking and speaking engagement.
Pull
that
him
night.
Aside afterward, then get a one-on-one.
I'll see if I can.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think who else. Who would be a great... And Deshaun Elliott is awfully talkative, is he not?
He might have some good things to say about replay assist because this year they're going to increase more of that in the NFL.
Deshaun Elliott?
No.
Steratore.
You know, the fact that they're going to rely on, they should rely on it more. Just, you know, quick changes on things that are obvious.
I agree. Bob, I'd like to welcome you back with a six-pack. May I?
Yes, I'd like a six-pack to start the day. And that goes against everything you just said you're doing to yourself.
I know.
Which
well,
is
it's
trimming
light,
down,
it's light
not taking.
Beer.
Okay, it's light. Yeah. There we go.
There's so much stuff. Thank you, Limits, that I don't even know where to begin other than with Off the Top presented by JP Roofing and Siding. There seems to be some confusion as to what happened on the PM show yesterday. Malsey and Andrew Filippone, and for all I know, Donnie, do they let Donnie in on the questions like I do with you, Limits?
Occasionally they do, yes.
Yeah.
You were very kind to me in allowing me to do that.
Well, you're very kind to me, so I feel the need to reciprocate.
Thank you very kindly. What a nice start we're off to, Bob, huh?
It's nice to be nice to the nice Bob. Isn't that what Frank Burns said on MASH?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite shows, MASH. Hot Lips just died. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was sad. Although that... Wait.
I think...
No, Lonnie Anderson just died.
No, I thought Hot Lips...
Loretta Swit.
No, I better double check this.
No, she did. She did she recently, did, okay. Yeah. Hot Lips Houlihan did. This extension pursuit with Paul Skeens, did Dan Zangrilli say that the Pirates have... What did Pony tweet? And what happened? Let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, so what Pony said is he put out a rumor that said that the Pirates and Paul Skeens, I guess there's been some type of discussion. But we also have the audio here. So... This is
some
what...
type of discussion. Now here's the key. Because I don't give a crap if they sign Paul Skeens to a contract. I don't care about that. Because all that would do would be like when they signed Gerrit Cole to a one-year contract instead of arbitration.
Right.
So if they sign Paul Skeens within his arbitration years, who cares?
No, it's just shifting money around, basically.
Right.
We're trying to be preemptive in how much money he's going to get.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with a legitimate contract.
So I assume what we're talking about here is the idea of signing Paul Skeens into at least one free agent year, which would be a miracle if the Pirates could do that. And I would bet everything I own that they wouldn't do that. But the question here is, are they actually talking about that?
So what Pony tweeted is, and we have the audio, Zangrilli says the Pirates have been in talks with Skeens about an extension. They're trying to get something done. Zangrilli said, Andrew mentioned a rumor that he had heard about attempting to do this. My response, yes, that I've heard the same, though I immediately acknowledged the steep uphill battle that it would be. This was Zangrilli with the PM guys.
There's a rumor that the Pirates have actually tried already to make some headway on a contract extension with Paul Skeens. Is that true?
Yes. I think that they look at it as a long shot, an uphill battle, but that's not going to deter them from trying.
Let me hear that again. Let me hear it again, because now Pony's right. Pony's right. As Zangrilli acknowledged, yes, it's a different question whether it's an uphill battle or not. Are they trying? Are they actively talking to Paul Skeens and his people about an extension? Let me hear it again.
There's a rumor that the Pirates have actually tried already to make some headway on a contract extension with Paul Skeens. Is that true?
Yes. I think that they look at it as a long shot, an uphill battle, but that's not going to deter them from trying.
It did deter them from trying to trade some of these veterans, though, at the deadline, obviously.
Well, but if nobody wants them, Chris, I mean, not to rehash that argument.
Bob, your thoughts on the Skeens thing?
That's not going to happen. Pure and simple, it's not going to happen.
Right, but the question is, are they trying? Have they tried? Have they made an attempt?
Zangrilli says yes. What's an attempt? How much would it, if you're telling me...
An attempt is, we'd like to sign you at least a year into free agency.
Okay, well,
here's our offer.
I'd like to hear what the offer is.
Before
I label it an attempt, because it may just be PR more than anything else, I want to hear what the offer is. If that's the case, what is the offer? If you're trying to get 1 year of free agency out of his system, that's going to cost you about $50 million a year, just for that 1 year.
That's all?
For 1 year.
Yeah. I think maybe more. I think
for 1 year?
I think that But I think
my point is that would take a multiple year contract valued at $300+ million
yes,
or more.
Yes.
And that's not gonna happen.
The idea
and
that
I don't think
Paul
Skeens wants it to happen down deep. He may say he's engaged or, you know, trying to get that kind of stuff going, but I think down deep his agent knows and he knows that in a couple of years the Pirates are gonna have to make a tough decision on him, which will be one that results in him being traded. And he'll go to a place that has a lot more money than what they're willing to offer.
There's at least $500 million waiting out there for him the second he becomes a free agent.
Yeah, if and his agent knows that.
Right. So why would he even sign for 1 year and risk that 1 year knowing that there's $500 million out there for him the instant he becomes a free agent? So even the idea of signing him 1 year into free agency just doesn't strike me as realistic. But again, that's a different question than what Pony addressed, and that's news. Whether what you say is true, Bob, or not, it could be PR. Like, oh, hey, look, we're talking to Paul.
They've done that before, haven't they?
If they're talking to Paul and that's a fact, then that's a news item.
Okay. It's a news item in that they're talking. It's not a news item that they're actually talking the kind of money necessary to get it done.
We'd have to see the
parameters.
But of course not. Of course not.
You're right. So therefore, to me, it's a non-story. Until it becomes a story. And I don't think it would ever become a story.
What if they offered him like major league minimum 1 year into free agency?
So I put this out there yesterday, Bob. Like a Paul Skeens extension in my mind right now, as it's currently constructed with what he has with arbitration and everything. 7 years, $370 million. And I got absolutely crushed for this, saying, oh, well, they're going to pay him like $5 million in his first year of arbitration anyway. There's no way that would be a good deal. People, and look, I was just spitballing with this. This is Paul Skeens. If you
really want to convince him to sign
a contract, this is what it has to be.
People said you were too high?
I was too high on the number.
No.
Then people have lost their
minds. Lost their collective minds.
Okay, he's 1, 2, 3, 4 years. So you're telling me you would get him 3 years of free agency?
3 years, yep.
And the total for the deal is $370 million?
Correct.
That's too low,
yep.
First of all.
And the reason why people are saying that is, look, Skeens has one more year of pre-arbitration where they're paying him nothing. And then in arbitration, he'll probably make like, what, 10, 20, 30 million, whatever, over the course of just how it'll go on the scale.
Well, he's going to make a lot of money. You'll obviously be paying him way more in the early years of that deal than he would make in arbitration.
Right, but isn't that what you need to do to incentivize him to sign?
Yes.
That's my entire point that I don't understand why people aren't getting.
Bob, 7 years, 370. Do you like the limits proposal?
No, that would never happen.
Tell me more.
Again, it's going to be much more money than that.
Okay,
if you're going to engage him, you're going to have to come at him with the kind of numbers that we've never seen around here before.
Sure, but you're way overpaying him for the first 4 years because that's way more on average than he would make in those 4 years, including nothing next year as a pre-arb guy still.
So instead of making nothing next year, you'd give Skeens $20 million, then it'd go to 25, 30, 50.
Do you actually think he would do that? I don't. I think he's going to wait until he gets to that point where he's traded.
To buy out those three, maybe it's a six-year deal, and he buys out 2 years of free agency.
And then some of these contracts that you've already seen around Major League Baseball for $700 million
And, sure, but know, he still has to wait a long time to get to free agency.
And if he's making $50 million in those free agent years, that's hard to turn down when you're making 20 instead of one.
You think he will endorse the philosophy that Andrew McCutchen once had, which is take the money that's available before you ever get to free agency. It was 6 years, $51 million at the time.
Well, Andrew was signed into free agency too, right, and well into it.
But
yeah,
again, but I think if you look back on that one, he may say that maybe I should not have gone in that direction.
No,
it's guaranteed
he
money.
Have.
It's guaranteed money.
Have,
I get
but,
that.
But this is
and it's
far...
his decision. But he's already making so much money on endorsements.
Sure.
He doesn't he'll wait until the highest offer he can get, and that'll come after he's traded.
Sure. But he's gonna but the money he would make for these next 4 years would be way more. So in other words,
but
it's more
order,
money now okay, and giving up a little in those
but
first 2 years.
If you're telling me that there's 1 year of free agency attached, first of all, he's going to want more than that. If you're truly making an offer to try to keep him here for the long run.
He is, but he can't get back these 4 years when he's basically under team control.
He's already made enough
so
money.
So you're overpaying for that.
If you think that, go ahead.
The real story here is why would he want to stay with an organization like this under any circumstance?
Right.
That's
right.
The real story.
And I think he made that clear the other day, as clear as he can, because he's a nice guy and he's not going to try to rock any boats here, but... You know, he's
rocking a little bit,
but a little bit. But
he's not, rocking
but
a little
not
bit.
He's not doing
politely.
It in a way politely. That's what I'm saying.
How often do you hear a
he said, eh, hopefully that money will be used to some of the bets. You know, come on. Ben Cherington said they don't make trades to save money. Well, and then he followed that up by saying, well, the money we saved, we're going to be able to. Well, in other words, you just contradicted yourself there.
Tell me the last time, and I know this was done politely, that an active Pirates pitcher said we need to go out and get some bats. First of all, you're insulting, rightfully, the people who are already on hand, correct?
Yes.
Did A.J. Burnett even ever say that, a guy who would say anything? Paul Skeens is on the record, by the way, saying, and this was a couple of weeks ago, what was his quote a couple of weeks ago? We didn't do enough in the offseason.
Correct, yes.
We got to get off our asses around here. I'm giving the not nice version of what he said. And then the other day, an active Pirates pitcher said, we need to go out and get some bats, and said it very politely.
This is what he said to Noah.
I don't remember the last time a guy said that.
He said, quote, hopefully it also created some space for us to acquire some bats in the offseason.
Yeah.
Didn't see a lot in terms of major league acquisitions at the deadline, but hopefully that sets us up next year very well through the guys that we acquired in AAA. Like I said, with that space in the offseason to pick up some bats.
But, nicely said, but said.
But space that they... First of all, space is a word that doesn't apply with this because there's endless amount of space. They can spend whatever they want to spend. They don't need to save $7 million on Ke'Bryan Hayes to make up for, you know, what they need to get. All they have to do is go out and spend it, regardless of what it is. So he's tiptoeing around that, too, which is fine, except the message is the message, which is we don't have enough bats, and they better go out and get some bats. He's the guy who's been victimized by that, he and Keller more than anyone.
I just think very notable that he said it, and it also leads me to believe, what's he going to say when they go through an offseason and their big acquisition is bringing back Adam Frazier.
And the other thing he said in that quote was, because we didn't get any major league talent, which is absolutely true.
He's saying what needs to be said in the politest of ways.
The best guy they got was a catcher who's not ready to play for who knows how long.
So they could offer him anything, I think. And if things continue to sour, they could give him the city and $1 trillion, and he's not coming back here.
Paul, here's your key. You can make any decision you want to the ballpark.
All right. Yes, thank you, Limits. Another ownership question, Bob. And this is an interesting one. This comes courtesy of our friend Tim Benz via Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. On Lemieux, Mario, and Burkle needing to step up their offer if they're going to sway Fenway Sports Group, everything I've heard about that is that they are well below what Fenway would want the number to sell, Friedman said. So far, they're apparently lowballing them, Bob. But the news here is we have, like, they're exchanging numbers. Like, we've gone from this being, somebody.
There's no way this is happening.
Pierre LeBrun reported it, and we'll just sort of pass by that one to this. So the news here is this could be closer than ever. If you ask me, okay, they're lowballing him, but are they actually negotiating? This would indicate that to me. Your thought?
Yeah, it's further along than I thought it would be, actually, because I didn't see this ever being a possibility. But I think Ron Burkle, you know, and the way he does business, he likes being involved in kind of things. I'm not sure how this would work in terms of how much percentage Mario Lemieux would have in it. But I also think Fenway Sports Group may not be motivated to sell it unless they get exactly what they paid into it, which I don't think they will ever get.
Well, speaking of that,
they overpaid for that.
Yeah, speaking of that, Friedman says, you know, Tampa Bay just sold the Lightning for $1.8 billion. He says, I've got to think that's about where the Penguins would want to be. And from what I understand, the Lemieux Group isn't close at this point in time. We'll see where else it goes. That's probably a story that doesn't go away for a while, Friedman said. Okay, so that's way different. I thought it would be a story that went away in 5 seconds when it first came out. Now it's a story that's persisting. Bob, the question I keep coming back to is, why is Mario bored or what? Why would he want to do this?
I don't think he's bored at all. I think he's
then enjoying. Why?
I don't know why. And again, I don't know to what level he's involved. I don't. I don't think any of us really do. I think most of this is probably being driven by Ron Burkle, but not sure. I mean, Mario has a very active family life. He's got grandkids now. He's playing golf a lot, doing what he likes to do, you know. So I'm not sure how much his involvement is in this whole deal. I'm sure he is if it's true, but I don't know to what degree. I don't think it would be like it was the last time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? Because there's only two guys at the forefront of the
ownership. I think Mario would be more of the, you know, like he's been. He's the guy in charge in terms of being the figurehead, the guy who saved the franchise many times. I don't know that he's interested in getting back in, unless there are other components to this thing. I'm not sure what else is going on with the Pittsburgh Penguins, but right now, the future over the next several years looks like it's going to be a tough future.
That's what I'm saying.
And so I don't know
what's the attraction? I guess the expansion money that's coming in, but
maybe.
Does Ron Burkle need more money? I don't think so. You know, I know David Morehouse would probably love to, you know, get his claws on this one, but I don't get it. I don't get what the attraction would be to this team right now at this point in Mario's life, and Burkle for that matter. It didn't end well the last time, if you recall.
No.
Those guys hired, and they did unbelievable work here that could never be undone, but it ended with a pretty bad loss, and that loss was named Berkey and Hexie. You remember them, Bob?
I do remember them, yep. And that was their group that brought them in, so... Yeah, I just don't know. When I first heard this story, I didn't think it was much legs to it at all, just for the reasons we cited, that Mario has a lot of stuff going on. But, you know, who knows? When you have a lot of money and Ron Burkle has a lot of money, he may be motivated to do some other things.
But think about how this has progressed, though, guys. It went from, well, Fenway wants to sell, like, a stake in the team, and maybe they're willing to sell a little bit more. Now it's the entire team, at least their majority stake in it. So the longer and longer this goes on, it seems like the more and more it's trending in Mario and Burkle's direction.
Could be.
Yeah, but the price is going
obviously,
to be higher.
Yeah, they're going to have to find more money. But
next. Why, thank you, Limits. You're very kind. Did I already mention that today?
You have. And I'm feeling on fire today.
Something struck me last night, Bob, at that Pirate game. And it was this. It wasn't Joey Bart, who eventually had one of the big hits to help win the game. It wasn't him jogging down to first base when he would have been safe before that, right after Swinski's home run. It was this. It was an exciting end to a game. And then there was a couple camera angles that showed the few fans that were there going crazy. And I've had enough of this. I've had enough of media people and other fans telling the most loyal fans, the few that are left in the season ticket base, the people who showed up last night and enjoyed themselves, how dare you make them complicit in whatever Bob Nutting is up to? Like they're helping him. Like they're complicit in your misery over the Pirates. Those are the most loyal fans of all. They deserve our praise, not our scorn for buying tickets. And that really ticks me off, actually, that people want to say you're a sucker. If you go to a Pirates game, if you have season tickets, you're part of the problem. Lay off these people. They're the most loyal Pirate fans they are. It's not their fault, whatever Bob Nutting's doing or whatever Ben Cherington's doing or whatever that franchise is up to. Those are the kinds of fans you want for your team. So stop blaming them. Stop telling people you're part of the problem if you go to a Pirates game. I spend money on a couple Pirates games every year. I had a question in my mailbag today. Will we just be better off without a baseball team?
No.
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 So, but it's that particular group. And you go look at an angle from behind home plate down the third baseline. People going crazy because they loved it and they're enjoying themselves. What the Pirates are doing isn't good enough. It's obviously. It's an outrage. And there's nobody in this town who's more critical of Bob Nutting and what they do over there. But that has zero to do with their most loyal fans. Those people are to be praised, not scorned.
And they have decisions to make about entertainment dollars. And if you went there last night, you had an entertaining game against a team that many people thought at the beginning of the season was going to be a playoff team. Now, they've fallen off.
Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree because I go as well, and I like to take grandkids and try to explain. And it has nothing to do with endorsing Bob Nutting's ways. It has nothing to do with that. It's just a night out that you can go and enjoy yourself. And, yes, you don't want to lose any professional sports franchise because once you do, you probably never get one back. And so, you know, two separate issues for me. You can do whatever you want with your money. You should be able to spend it as you see fit.
Right.
Do what you want, and no one should criticize you for it. You know, I like going to the opera. Many people I know don't think that's, what are you doing over? Because it's very entertaining to me. I find voices and people capable of doing things I've never seen before intriguing. You know, musicals, Broadway stuff, it's all exceptional talent. I want to be entertained. So I'll do what I want with my money, and I think people have a right to do it. And just because they're there doesn't mean they're putting down some rubber stamp approval of what Bob Nutting's business
ways are. No, in fact, some of them are the most vocal critics as
well. And they should be. You know, and that's
they're allowed to go to a game.
But they're also allowed to enjoy
a
good ninth inning the way they did last night.
Yes, they are. And they're the most loyal fans. And again, how dare people sit, on the sidelines and tell them that they're the problem. The problem's in the ownership office, the GM office, and everywhere else over there. It ain't in the crowd with the people who still go and spend their money. And don't tell me how to spend my money either. Limits, you go there as a fan, right?
I fully agree with you, Joe. And the people that try to claim that, look, if you go to the games, it just continues to add on to the problem. That does not matter in the overall bottom line. They make, as Bob Nightingale told us, $90 million in revenue sharing.
No, that's the other thing.
Constantly.
Is that even if nobody went, it still wouldn't stop the problem.
They still get the money. So
right, this is all before they ever set one foot into the PNC Park.
It doesn't matter.
It's all
matter.
Money in advance. It's shared money. All the teams get it.
So if there's nobody in the stands, they're still going to make money. So that point is mute and makes no sense to me when people continue to bring it up.
412-928-9370 on any of these three topics that we've discussed so far.
By the way, can I just do a
please.
Little shot?
Not that
he deserves this because he hasn't played all that well, but Jack Sawinski had a pretty good game last night, in particular running the bases in the ninth inning. I thought when he got to third base on the hit by Joey Bart, that was huge because it forced them to bring the infield in.
I thought it was a crazy move, but it worked.
But he got aggressive and it worked. And then he came home on a grounder and really, busted his butt to get there. So on that particular night, plus a two-run home run, which made it a huge difference, Sawinski had a pretty good night.
I agree with that. Having said that, the fact that he's up here and playing, Bob, at some point you have to cut bait. You know what I mean? But yes,
I get it.
For one night, it was good to see him have a good night. Mm-hmm. It was.